Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone. And then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible.
A, B, N.
It's Headphones Neil!
What's up, guys? Headphones Neil here, back with another film review, and in this case, it's going to be the Matrix Trilogy 4K versions. So, I've been meaning to rewatch the films just kind of to do a different sort of review in that I always found the films to be good, but in hearing that the sequels might not have been as well received as the first one, I kind of wanted to do an overall recap of the trilogy, but to scrutinize it a little bit more than I normally would have, because from my point of view, or for me, all three films were good. I enjoyed them. I never really found any issues with them, but I wanted to cover some of the themes that might have been covered in it, and just generally look at it from less about from liking it, the films and fan service, and kind of some of the stuff that was kind of good and weird and things like that. So jumping right into it, as I mentioned, I watched the 4K versions of the film. So right off the bat, when you're watching the first film, for me, I noticed that it had less of the grayish tint that I remember the film having, and it had more of the greenish hue and tint in the that matched the second and third films. So it kind of feels like they are basically, when you're doing an up convert to 4K, you're going to get better picture quality, but it feels like they kind of normalize the colors to make the films match their overall theme. So if you know, for example, watch the original film back in 95 or 99 or whenever it came out, and then you go straight to the 4K versions now, it's not really jarring, but you kind of, for me, it was easy to forget that, it kind of stood out as noticeable that, hey, this isn't quite as grainy or grayish as I remember it. The original film I remembered as being a little bit more nitty gritty, so kind of along the lines of the Star Wars original trilogy, and then jumping into the prequels or even the sequels, but kind of when you go from the original trilogy to the prequels, you kind of get that same effect as when you go from The Matrix to The Matrix Reloaded and Revolutions. But in general, I thought that it's not necessarily a bad touch. I kind of like that it was a little bit more normalized. You still have a lot more of the grayish tint, and overall it doesn't change the impact of the story, but it kind of feels weird when you're going into it and you see that all three films now look about the same, which looking at it now, overall is a good thing. I mean, I there's probably purists who think that they shouldn't change that overall tint, but for me, it just stands out that much more because you are up converting the film to 4K, so the colors will pop out that much more. And then going into the film overall, so the other part of this review is coming off of Johnny Mnemonic. A lot of the things you see in Johnny Mnemonic that were kind of bad are actually well done in this film. So if you go back to my Johnny Mnemonic review from a couple weeks ago, you'll find that I end up talking a lot about how Johnny Mnemonic is an alpha version of the Matrix. It's not even a beta version, just because there's a lot of good themes and ideas, but it's not implemented as well as it could have. But a lot of that stuff is fixed when you get to the Matrix. So one of those things that stands out is the idea of the construct. So when Morpheus is teaching Neo about the Matrix, telling him what it is, kind of how it's set up, it's presented better than when Johnny Mnemonic has to hack into his brain and you have Ice-T telling Dina Meyer that you can tell he's in his brain because you're hacked into it. Whereas the Matrix, it doesn't necessarily overlook that whole part, but they show a loading program to show that you're in your brain. You have Morpheus explaining to Neo that they have to hack into the Matrix via various ports. So they kind of bring over computer lingo to say that getting into the Matrix is not as easy as, you know, signing in or logging in, because what they're doing is obviously illegal to the Matrix and the framework of the Matrix. So having the construct is their way of kind of teaching people who don't understand the Matrix about it, but also having the audience understand that this is a hack and this is kind of how they have to get into the Matrix, and they have to find safe broadcast points, so basically back doors into the Matrix in order to navigate it. And then they further enhance this idea in the second and third films when Neo needs to meet the Oracle and there's no easy way to get there, so they show the computers having their own back doors. So they obviously understand backdoors, are able to navigate them, and showing this is kind of a way of presenting the idea of viruses or other elements of hacking programs that use backdoors to get around the system. So the Matrix obviously is not flawless, but they do what they can, and they're having Sentinel programs or even the idea that Agent Smith can access them. Shows that it's possible that the agent program doesn't have access to it, or they don't think about it too much as far as being able to access it. Otherwise, the first film I find was probably the better of the three, because they make an obvious or a more obvious presentation of a yin yin yang symbolism of duality. So in the first film, we have Neo and Morpheus in the sparring program, and you have Morpheus, I believe, in black, Neo in white, and in their fighting you get a lot of overhead shots, front shots and flipping and all of that. So basically that obvious connection that we're gonna have a positive and negative, up and down, machine versus real world comparison throughout the franchise. So this ultimately progresses into the duality of Neo and Agent Smith. So by the end of the first film, if you're not expecting a sequel or a franchise, then you expect that Neo built or defeated Agent Smith, and that's the end of that. So you don't really have that duality set up, but we have that brought up in when Neo and Morpheus and Agent Smith first meet up in the park after Neo's conversation with the Oracle, and you get that idea that now we're going to have a duality and a further setup and progression of this storyline. So it's kind of bringing up that idea that Neo and Agent Smith are the flip sides of the same coin. So Neo has risen from the human world, and Smith having been deleted but not being deleted, like, and resigning to deletion like he's supposed to, becomes that rise in the machine world. So It kind of, again, mirrors what Star Wars was trying to do as far as The Chosen One, and bringing up the Force Dyad, but it got kind of convoluted, I will admit, but it's kind of a match there where you're having Neo as a chosen one, but you're not gonna, but the Matrix kind of presents it a little bit more simply with the Oracle saying everything that has a beginning must have an end, and Neo not being able to understand the choices beyond what he wants to understand of them. So if you don't really think too far beyond it by the Matrix Reloaded, they bring it to a conclusion by the end of the third film that Neo is slowly progressing his understanding and needs to understand things beyond what he is or wants to understand. So by not understanding it or not wanting to understand his choices, it makes it harder for him to go into meeting with the architect that much more easy. But you do realize that the architect is simply trying to balance the equation, so that's what the prior versions of Neo in the Matrix did, is that because they couldn't understand, or maybe they didn't have that full understanding, or as Neo realizes that no one knew about it, they did that because that they understood that or that's all they could understand them doing. But Neo, now having the progressed knowledge of the past iterations and the help of the Oracle and Morpheus, understands it more than he otherwise would have. So beyond that, the rest of the film kind of is just random stuff and things that stood out. For example, like when I'm watching the Matrix Revolutions and we have the final fight scene, one of those things that stood out was that Agent Smith had, in all his various copies, has the faces of those stage play masks, so happiness, sadness, anger, sorrow. So when they're panning over it, one of those things that I didn't notice before was that you see that kind of stage play. So I don't know if that was on purpose or not, but I kind of thought that was intriguing that I never really thought about before. So watching that now was kind of good. We have kind of Flash Gordon style vibes at the end of it, that Neo is supposed to save everyone, kind of along the lines when Morpheus and Niobe are looking at what the Sentinels are doing when they freeze, and when Commander Locke, I think, was talking about hope and dreams being Morpheus's realm. So basically Neo is like the Flash Gordon of the film, where he's gonna is supposed to save everyone. And the final question, which I actually kind of liked but it wasn't presented as well as Total Recall, was when Morpheus asks if this is real, because he's dreamed about the end of the war for so long. But I think he was kind of trying to tie together the idea of the architect saying that they've destroyed the Zion 5 times previously and they become exceedingly good at it. So by Neo not accepting his deal is presenting a new sort of peace between the machines and the humans to kind of break the wheel. But otherwise, as far as the films go overall, this time around, I actually thought, I don't know that the films or the sequels are necessarily any worse than the original, but I think it kind of falls apart when you try to explain more of a world, or it's hard to explain a world's backstory when you try to expand on a film that's so good. So things like the back doors were more prominent. You have...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Seraph kind of being the firewall program, I guess, for the Oracle. They talked about the Exile a lot. So, for example, Sati is the Exile. So it wasn't necessarily explained too well why she's the last Exile in that whole situation. But in looking at the cast list for the Matrix 4, it seems like that's potentially what they're going to explain a little bit more, maybe. Or maybe something that they hope to explain as a fallout for the trilogy. But when watching the film, so now having recently, or I want to say recently, maybe in the past year or so, having watched Max Payne and rewatched the Doom movie, the films, the lobby scene in the police station of the first film when Trinity and Neo are going to save Morpheus felt a lot like a Max Payne scene in slow motion with all the bullets, which they repeated in the second film. And kind of like Doom, or kind of with Doom music, so it's kind of a cool scene there, which I still like. I like that the first film started and ended with the Heart of the City Hotel, so it was a kind of a nice touch that I didn't really notice before or didn't really remember from watching it previously. And then I liked the PvP with Smith in the second film, and then the PvE scene with the Merovingian when the Morpheus and Trinity are trying to get to him. So the scene was... I liked the scene, but I don't know that the Merovingian scenes were... I like them, but for me, the character development for his bodyguards were kind of limited, so they did explain that via Persephone as far as the vampires in the system, which the Oracle also kind of talked about, that when you hear about ghosts and goblins and vampires, but that could have been better explained in the film as far as prior versions, or maybe that the Oracle was being intentionally cryptic about it because she knew that the architect was going to tell Neo about it. But things like that start to fall apart, so that kind of took away from me that they could have spread that story out a little bit better, that she tells Neo that there were prior, that she could have told Neo about the prior versions of the Matrix and her role in it, so when he goes to the architect, it's a better conversation. And by the time he gets to his fight with Smith, he goes into it better understanding it, but still trying to defeat Smith as a program and delete him until Smith still says everything that has a beginning has an end. So Neo then understands what he has to do, and he has to let Smith override him and take it from there. And then one of the things I didn't notice or didn't remember noticing in the second film is that the door to the source is only open for 314 seconds, which is the value of pi, so I thought that was an intriguing thing. I liked the APU loading scene in the third film, so a lot of those, the dock loading scenes were pretty cool. I liked the whole battle sequence. I thought that was well presented. But the problem I had here was that the captain sounded like there was a weird Morgan Freeman-like voiceover, so the character seemed like he could have been played by Morgan Freeman, or he was trying to do a Morgan Freeman voiceover, so I thought that could have been done a little bit better. So that was kind of weird, but overall I thought that scene was good, and I kind of wanted... Or I don't know that we needed more of the dock loading scenes, but I liked that whole setup with traveling with Niobe piloting the ship through the service level and the maintenance hatch. So I thought that was a good setup as far as Niobe in the second film driving to save Morpheus to show her driving skills, and then finishing that off with her driving or flying the ship through the maintenance hatch. So. Overall, a good scene there. And then I liked that in the first and third films we have Neo taunting Smith in much the same way, but now that Neo has more of a mastery and knowledge of what Smith is about and the Matrix and skills and all of that, I thought overall that was very well done. So. A nice little touch there. So watching them individually, things that are easy to... There's a lot of little things like that that are easy to miss, but are not missed as much when you watch them all together. So overall, if I was to grade the franchise, I would probably say that in general, I think the films hold up. I like that there's a lot of connections. It's not easy to set up a film like this and have... I mean, granted, it's only three films. So, you know, when you have more, nine films like Star Wars, you have like seven or eight films with Harry Potter. It's easy. It's not as easy to have a franchise that you can keep track of, that... You don't have as many storylines to keep track of, but when you're trying to maintain storylines that are very heavy on back-end lore, it's one of those things that you want to make sure that you keep track of all the storylines, I guess, and keep the lingo and terminology and all of that the same. So I think they did as good as they could have for the films, but it didn't feel like the stories were as evenly spread out as they could have when you get to the second and third film. So while the second and third film were released back to back, I think that they could have explained certain storylines a little bit better. So for example, if they had moved the whole idea of Agent Smith to the end of the second film, so don't even bring up his whole thing about the copies until the end, when they show the revelation that he is able to copy himself and get into the real world by the idea of copying himself into Bane, or leave that whole thing in the middle when they're trying to get, when the ship or when the guys are trying to get the Oracle's message out to Neo, that change that up a little bit, I guess, to the point in the end of the film where they still get the message out to Neo and all of them to talk to the Oracle, but I guess leave that whole point to the end of the film, so. Like the whole copying scene, so we don't know what, so that we see the whole idea of him, Smith copying himself into Bane, but leave that to the end of the, move that to the end of the film. So we find out that, he was being held by Smith, kind of like Smith was holding Morpheus in the first film. And then Bane wakes up at the end of the film and they interrogate him and leave it at that. And then Neo is in his coma. And they can either leave that or, change that so that, he wakes up and we have the whole train scene and all of that, but leave that alone and then have, the Oracle telling Neo about, balancing the equation and the exile and the prior versions of the Matrix and all of that. So Neo has this whole idea of has more information about the back end of the Matrix. And then from there, leave the rest of the story as far as Neo meeting Agent Smith, learning about the copying and all of that, and work all the pieces together, and then, you know, feeling the sentinels and all of that, and understanding all of that to the first film. So, things like that. I mean, the story could have been reworked a little bit to better explain those stories, so it felt a little bit janky. I did not mind the whole thing with Neo's choice as far as Trinity and Zion, but understanding that he's going to have to make that choice, but he doesn't want to. He wants to save everyone, so having to make that choice and trying to work his way through it and not making the same decisions as his prior or the prior iterations of the One. So things like that. So some things worked, some things didn't. So if I was to going back to grading the films, I mean, on a personal level, I still give them an A. Overall, I liked them. They were good and it kind of worked. But watching them this time, I kind of found that they were a bit janky, or felt a little bit janky as far as the ordering and the pacing of some of the storylines. I'd probably give it about a B to a B plus, like right in that 85 to 89% range. Mostly because they did what they could, but it felt like the two movies were rushed to get them completed at the same time. So I think that rather than pushing them to so close together, I think they could have better spent time by making them have a better release schedule and spending more time on the story to have more explanations in the film and fewer, you know, hey, you got to figure out what's going on and things like that. So I think that's kind of where it suffered by the time you get to the end of the film. So that's why I kind of reduced the grade based on that. I mean, for me, it's like a flipping the coin. On one hand, they overall did pretty good as far as maintaining the overall theme and outline of the story. But once you think about it a little bit more, it kind of makes it harder to follow. Makes it feel like they spent not enough time on the story, or they came just barely close to getting the story right, and from there it kind of falls apart. So overall, I don't think the films were as bad as the reputation I keep hearing about are, but they're not perfect. So it goes along the lines of Star Wars as well, that the overall stories work. Once you get into the nitty-gritty of it, it doesn't probably hold up as well as you might want it to, but I think they're not necessarily as bad as the reputation of them probably are. So things like that kind of, so for me, it's one of those things that it's kind of flipping the coin on them. That were they perfect? No. But are they bad? Also, no. So for me, the worst grade that I could probably give them is that 85%. So I still enjoy them, and I do like the color of conversion of the first film. So the films flow a lot better than having one film that's kind of grayed out and not as colorful, and two that are, you know, solid green and have perfect coloring. So having watched the 4K versions, overall I think they're very well done. I enjoyed them this time around. So I hope that the fourth Matrix film does get released this year, but I feel better having watched them, and feel a little bit better for going into the fourth film to see how the fourth film holds up to the first three. I may rewatch them as it comes closer to the actual release date of the film. So, you know, if it gets pushed to next year or something like that, then that might also be a possibility. But if it's released this year, as in by the end of 2021, then I may or may not. But now that I kind of feel better about kind of seeing the back, kind of more of that duality, seeing some of the flaws in the system, that it's one of those things that the fourth film is probably going to be one of those things that corrects the storylines of the first three films, kind of like basically along the lines of The Exile, what happened to Neo. Having the original, or rumors of the original cast in the fourth film, makes it that much more intriguing to see what they bring about as far as how do they tie up all those loose ends and what kind of story they bring about for the next film in the franchise. So that's all there is for this particular review. So if you have any questions, comments, feedback, stuff that you want me to kind of talk about and review as far as thoughts or your point of view on stuff that the Matrix trilogy did good, bad, indifferent, maybe something you feel I'm totally wrong about, then you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. The website is headphonesneil.reviews for past episodes, subscription links, supporting the show, and all of the good stuff. And of course, if you're a supporter on the Patreon at patreon.com/PatelN01, then you got the May bonus recap episode and upcoming content and all of that last week, so look out for that. But you get access to what's upcoming content, what's going on with the show and content and things like that. And it also helps support the show. You can give your own recommendations for stuff to review and watch and all that. And as a patron, you can get a shout out to your own content and things like that. And so that's all on Patreon at patreon.com/PatelN01. But that's all there is for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.